Revelation chapter 20, look at verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. That's a good way to say Merry Christmas, isn't it? Verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. Everybody say that with me. Shut him up. Now, of course, this is in the very near future, my opinion. This will be after the 7 years of tribulation that will come upon this planet. The Antichrist that will rule and reign as a tyrannical political and religious leader. 7 years of wrath being poured out upon this planet. After that, Christ will return at the Battle of Armageddon, the Battle of the Ages, when the armies and the nations of the world will come against Israel to try to destroy them, and the Lord Jesus will intervene in a mighty way, and he will destroy the nations with the word of his mouth. And guess who will be with him during that time? You and I, the body of Christ. After that, directly, he will perform this task. This angel with a chain will chain the devil. Now, the Antichrist and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire, and the devil will be chained for a season, 1,000 years, and he will be shut up. Now, my message this morning is that he's already shut up. Do you realize that? We are fighting a real adversary. In fact, if you'll look in the passage, it calls him the devil and Satan. That's just two names of this maniacal being. Satan, of course, being the accuser of the brethren, and devil meaning false accuser, the adversary of our souls. What does he accuse us of? Well, sin, unrighteousness, condemnation. Have you ever felt guilty and just so much condemnation and guilt about things you've done, places you've been, things that you can't forget about? That's his job, is to condemn you and make you feel that your sins are not forgiven. Make you feel that you have to live in a constant state of fear and a constant state of making sure your sins are forgiven. And can I tell you very easily this morning that you can shut him up? Because Christ, the prophecy of God in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, he said the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. And ever since that word came forward, we had assurance of victory over the serpent, the dragon, the devil, slewfoot, the adversary, Satan. Ladies and gentlemen, you are fighting a real devil. You are fighting real demonic principalities and powers and forces from the spirit world. I'm telling you, Ezekiel's prophecy tells us that Lucifer was an angelic being so beautiful and so majestic that when he would open his mouth, that the pipes that were prepared in his lungs would make music before the Lord. And then Isaiah tells us that one day he got it in his heart that he could ascend and be above God. And the Bible says 7 times he said, I will, referring to Lucifer, ascend and be like the Most High. Jesus tells us that it wasn't long after that that he saw him fall like lightning from heaven. He fell from the third heaven to the second heaven, the spirit world. And Ephesians 2 verse 2 now says that he is the prince of the power of the air. He is ruling and reigning in the spirit world. Now, you may not be fighting the devil directly because he can't be everywhere at one time. But I can promise you, you are fighting his minions. You are fighting indirectly the devil through principalities and powers. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and wicked spirits in high places. That is the truth this morning. But the truth also, Jesus has already shut him up. 1 John 3 verse 8, he that committeth sin and practices sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning, and for this reason the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. His blood shuts him up, who hath redeemed us by his blood, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I'm not born again by silver and gold, but I'm born again by the precious blood of the Lamb of God, who came into this world on a pallet of straw, but he's coming back as a warrior in victory and power. And because of that, you and I can shut him up. When you come to Jesus Christ and you say yes to him, you shut the devil's mouth. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Apostle Paul said, what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, that's seemingly what I do. Raise your hand if you've ever felt that way. Sure you have. And he said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then he said, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who does not allow us to walk in condemnation, but in the spirit of life. In Christ. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm glad my sins are forgiven. I've blown it this week already, John. I have, a few times. And guess what? So have you. But aren't you glad that he hasn't dealt with us according to our sin? That we can look upon him, and by his mercy and his grace, I am saved, you are saved, and that shuts the devil's mouth. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast about it. I'm saved this morning. You are saved if you call him Lord. So don't you let the devil tell you anything about your salvation. Oh, hallelujah. The fact that he's tearing your mind up about it is a fact that you are saved. And just remind him, devil, it's not too many more years from now. You're going to be chained for 1,000 years. That'll shut him up. Hallelujah. Look with me at Luke chapter 4. Luke 4, powerful passage here. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4, I'll tell you, I'm tired of the devil. I'm tired of him telling our children they have to take their lives. I'm tired of him telling sick people that they'll never be healed. I'm tired of him telling people that, well, what you did was so terrible, it'll always linger and live with you. Luke chapter 4, verse 31. Love this. Now get ready to shout. Luke 4, verse 31. Came down, Jesus came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine. For his word was with power and authority. Oh God, I'm telling you, the same word has the same power today. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? And I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now I want to tell you something. It's not a bad thing to be recognized by the devil. I tell people all the time that those, because we always get this complex about those who are living in sin, who say God isn't real and that Jesus stuff is funny business. Sometimes they seem like they have it on Easy Street. A way that the world may look at Easy Street. Right? But the reality is that when you make a commitment to Christ, you are automatically placed upon hell's hit list. You realize that? And he's going to turn the heat up. And he's coming after you. He'll follow you. The principalities I'm talking about, they'll follow you. They'll look at your tendencies. They'll listen to what you say. And they'll tempt you and try you accordingly. Why? Because they study you. They know you. They've been around a long time. And their goal is to pull you away from his presence. His goal is to kill, steal, and destroy your life. And whether it's 3 or 103, he's coming after you. You hearing what I'm saying this morning? So they know who he was. And Jesus, verse 35, get your pen out, rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace." Now that's beautiful King James language for shut up. Come on, amen. "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst. Now this is powerful. Because I'm telling you, when you get connected to Christ and you have a power line to heaven called the Holy Ghost, and you get that connection hot, I'm telling you, you can come to a place in your relationship with God where you won't be trying to get rid of the devil, but he'll be trying to get away from you himself. Come on. Because Psalm 8 verse 2 says that it is out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise, and you have ordained strength, and it steals the enemy and the avenger. I love it when we can just worship and magnify God with our voices. Preacher told me one time he was in Africa. Steve Brock said he was singing and preaching to 1 million plus in an African nation, and that there were witch doctors and magicians on the outside of the camp trying to put spells upon everybody. And then when he began to sing the worship to the Lord and people began to raise their hands, that these witch doctors started putting their fingers in their ears, say, "Quit singing that, it hurts my ears." And they would flee from the village. Why? Because it's praise that steals the enemy and the avenger. When you are feeling anxious and depressed and hopeless, just lift up a praise to God. That will shut him up. I can assure you of that, because you can't praise and fear at the same time. You can't worship and worry at the same time. You can't magnify God with your voice and worry at the same time. Shut him up this morning. Oh, God help me. And he came out of him, verse 35, and hurt him not. Why? He wanted to get away from this fella. Because now he had a connection to Jesus. Folks, verse 36. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What? Oh God, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." If I could just help you understand what kind of authority you really have. One of these days when we're hanging out around the throne of heaven and God is judging those at the great white throne judgment, all those who will be cast into the lake of fire, Isaiah says we're going to see this puny little devil, and that we're going to look at him and we're going to say, "Is this the guy that tried me all those years? Is this the guy that really tormented me all that time? Is this the guy that really caused me to be so anxious and fearful that I could hardly move? Is this the guy that wanted me to think that I wouldn't spend eternity with my Savior?" So I try to look at him like that now. Because in the natural, I may not look like much. But in the spirit, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. And that's what the devil sees, you know. Come on, amen. I've seen 90-pound grandmas pray the Holy Ghost down, buddy. I've seen them cast out devils and pray with the power of God that would make me shatter in fear and tuck my head between my legs and say, "I need to put up or shut up." Why? Because they had a connection to God. and they shut the devil up. Hallelujah. He's already defeated. Glory. I love it. What a word is this? God help me. I'll tell you what kind of word it is. It's what John declared when he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God." The Logos, the expression of who God is. And you want to talk about light in the darkness. The planets aligned just right, John, when he was born and shined over that little baby. Led the Magi right where he was. And the Bible says that the glory of God shone round about them. And the Word was wrapped in swaddling clothes. What a gift. What a gift you have this morning. Unwrap him this morning. How? By taking hold of a powerful word. Go with me to Matthew 4. As you're turning, I want to remind you about Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. That says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you can withstand the wiles of the devil." That word wiles in the Greek, we get our root word method. What kind of methods, what kind of tricks does he use to try the people of God? And I'm telling you, he'll use them all. He'll use offense. He'll use anger. He'll use unforgiveness. He'll use the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He'll use it. And he's tricky. You have authority, but he is smart. I want to tell you something. We need to remember that we are strong in him and in the power of his might. When it comes to the battle of the wits, the battle of the wits is all determined upon your ability to respond. Right? So if you want to match wits with the devil, you better be ready to respond. And he's not afraid of anything you say. And he's not afraid of anything you do. In fact, the sons of Sceva learned that the hard way. They saw the apostles casting out devils. They said, "Man, we can do that. Glory to God. I've only been preaching 5 minutes, but I can cast out devils." Somebody gets saved and called to preach, and they want a pastor 6 months later. Only for the devil to beat him to death. Listen, it's a good thing that they know who you are in Christ. They didn't know the sons of Sceva. Beat them half to death, the book of Acts tells us. Beat them so harshly that they ripped their clothes off and embarrassed them. Battle of the wits, right? And they said, "Paul we know. Silas we know." Here you go, buddy. But who are you? I want them to know who I am. Amen. Amen. And I remind myself every time it gets hard and people get funny and things are difficult, I remember I'm called of God. You're called of God. And if you've made a commitment to Christ, it will get difficult and it will get hard. And he is a tricky devil. And he will try to trick you into believing that you don't have what you possess, which is authority over him in every capacity of your life. Matthew 4, look with me quickly. And look at verse 1. This is, of course, right after Jesus is baptized. The Holy Spirit descends upon him in the form of a dove, and God speaks from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." They had revival on the riverbank. Glory to God. Right after that, guess where he goes? Into the wilderness. Now let's see how he got there, shall we? Look at verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the who? into the wilderness. That's important. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit is going to lead you into a time of testing. Don't blame it on the devil. Be able to discern the fact that the Holy Spirit is leading you to a place where you have to trust Him. Let me tell you, the Lord will never allow you to be in a place, in a position in your life where you do not need Him. And if you want great faith is what? Greatly tested. Come on, amen. So if you ask Him for more faith, get ready, John. He's going to give you the opportunity to have it. Come on. All right. And he, to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. Now think about that. No water, no food for 40 days, 40 nights. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." The tempter, just another name for him, isn't it? Who does he tempt? All men. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And guess what? He knows what your lust is. He knows. He's watched you long enough. He knows you. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Number one, Jesus is tempted in the flesh right here. He's tempted in the flesh, just like we are tempted in the flesh. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And here we have the lust of the flesh. "Command these stones to be made bread." Jesus, what is his response? The word of God. Remember what they said in Luke 4? What kind of word is this? He is the word. He's declaring the word. And here he's quoting the word that he inspired. To combat temptation and to shut the devil up. How did he do it? With his word. All right. "Then the devil takes him up into the holy city, sets him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him," once again, highlighted, "it is written." We could say the Bible says, the Bible declares emphatically, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Now here the devil gets tricky, because he quotes scripture to him, but he quotes it incorrectly. Now, I've heard some people use scripture out of context before. I can tell you that. Well, I can tell you some stories. Well, the Bible says, this is what the Bible says. No, that's not what the Bible says. So context is key when studying the Bible, right? There are three main rules to studying the scripture. Number one, context. Number two, context. And number three, context. To be correct, because I promise you, the devil will try to misconstrue the scripture to you. He will. And twist it and turn it to make you believe something that's not true. Been doing it. He tried to do it with the Son of God. He tried to do it with the Lord himself. And here we go. "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil takes him in. Well, so here we have the pride of life. The devil wanted him to take his life into his own hands. Now, he tempts you to do that all the time, and you don't realize it. Take your own financial situation in your own hands. Take your health in your own hands. Don't get prayed for. Don't tithe. Take it in your own hands. Make your own way. Because you are in control of your life. He wants you to believe that. And folks, when you are anchored in Christ, He is your source. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? If you are born again, truly faith in Christ, I'm telling you that you will rely upon Him when you are tempted with the flesh and with the pride of life. Your life is in His hands. You believe it? Shout amen. Amen. All right, verse 8. Again, the devil takes him into an exceeding high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. It's a false glory, you see. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So here he tempts him with not the lust of the flesh, not the pride of life, but the lust of the eyes. The eyes. What you see and what you think you want. The best job, the best paychecks, the best parking spot, the pension, all the glory that the world. And nothing wrong with having any of that. In fact, praise God for His blessings in our lives. But never be so prideful to think that you have anything to do with it. Even people who are not saved and they prosper, that's the goodness of God, I believe, leading them to repentance. Come on, amen. It's all from Him. He's in control of it all. You believe it? Shout yes. But never put your aspirations and your dreams before the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll tempt you with it. He'll tempt you with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But the best way to shut him up is to give him the word. Come on, amen. Give him the word. It is written.